So what is prayer? Well, prayer is a vehicle by which we receive God's grace. Prayer connects us with God, and we receive grace from God through prayer. And so when it comes to our lives, how do you deal with suffering? How do you deal with sickness? How do you deal with sin? How do you deal with the issues that we face in our lives? James says the answer is pray. And here in the passage, we see four people or four groups of people who pray. And we can learn about prayer and how to pray from each of these. So four people or four groups who pray. We see the praying individual, the praying community, the praying friends, and the praying prophet. The praying individual, praying community, the praying friends, the praying prophet. So first of all, the praying individual, verse 13. And James says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. See, James really simply says, look, there's two main states in life. You're either sad or you're happy. And he says, if you're sad and you know it, pray. And if you're happy and you know it, pray. James is saying the whole of your life is meant to be lived in relationship to God. You see, that's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian means that you have been brought into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to reconcile us, to bring us back to God. And so when a person becomes a Christian, we say that they've begun a relationship with God. And so when we live, as we live, every part of our life and every moment of our life, James says, should be lived in relationship with God. Should be lived acknowledging that relationship with God. And we do that as we pray. And so in every circumstance, at every opportunity, our thoughts should be turning to God. In bad times, in good times, when we're sad, when we're happy, when we're suffering, when things are going well. And he starts off by talking about suffering, because suffering, he's been dealing with suffering already in his book. And suffering is part and parcel of life. It comes to us all. If you've not experienced much of it, the longer you live, the more you will. And James says, you need to know how to deal with suffering. And so last week, we saw that one of the things which we need to do when we're suffering or experiencing suffering is we need to be patient. But this week, he says, not only do you need to be patient, but you need to pray. That's how to deal with it. You see, prayer is acknowledging that God is powerful and that he has the ability to meet our needs. And so when we're suffering, we pray to God, saying to him, Lord, you are sufficient to meet my needs in this situation. I need help here. I'm trusting you to see me through. We need to pray in times of difficulty and in times of suffering. Jesus himself prayed in times of difficulty and suffering. You know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before, the night before he died, he was in great agony. And what did he do? He prayed. And what did he pray? Father, your will be done. You see, we can't control the future of our lives. We can't even control the present of our lives. But we can connect with the God who does. And we do that through prayer. In times of suffering, in times of difficulty, pray. But in good times, when things are going well, when health is good, we should pray. He says sing praises, but that's just another way of praying, giving thanks to God. Because what are we doing when we do that? We're saying that all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. We're acknowledging the fact that every good, every perfect gift comes from above. It's from the Father of lights. He's good and he's faithful. And yet what often happens is that bad times and good times, suffering, and when things go well, are means, are things that draw us away from prayer. See, we often fail to pray. See, when difficulties come, we can end up rebelling against God. We can end up questioning God and complaining and abandoning prayer, abandoning Bible reading. We can get angry at God, turn our back on him, pout, as it were. And so rather than suffering drawing us to God and to pray, it can lead us away from God and from prayer. And the same thing when the good times roll. You know, when things are going well, we can again turn our backs on prayer because we can become complacent. We can become lazy. You know, we don't have a need to pray because life is going well. We pray when we're desperate. And we begin to assume that we can do life by ourselves. But James here is saying, look, whether things are going badly or whether things are going well, you need to pray. Because your life as a Christian is meant to be lived in relationship with God. And you need that relationship with God in good times and in bad times. And God is a God for the good times and the bad times. He's watching over us all the time. He's in relationship with us all the time through Jesus Christ. That is the sort of God he is, and that is the sort of friend we have in Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. You know, we should cultivate an attitude of prayer in our lives. You see, prayer might not change the circumstance that you're in, but it can change you in your circumstances. And that makes a massive difference. Now, we're all different characters, and we all, because we're different characters, do things like routines differently. But there's two types of prayer we should all try and cultivate in our lives. The first is having a set time of prayer every day. It can be in the morning, it can be in the evening, it doesn't really matter. Having a set time of prayer, because then you're not going long without actually pouring out your heart to God. But also, we should cultivate a general attitude of prayer during every day. Yes, it's good to pray for a certain time in a certain place, but we need to also pray constantly in all situations. When we're driving the car, pray. Keep your eyes open, but pray. When you're at work, pray. When you're at home, pray. You know, when you're healthy and things are going really well, pray. Give thanks to God. You know, when you're sick, when you've got a cold or you've got man flu or something worse, pray. You know, when relationships are tough, pray. When relationships are good, pray. When you're feeling all buoyant and full of life and like people like you, pray. When you're feeling a bit down in the dumps and you're feeling lonely and nobody likes you, pray. In every circumstance, good and bad, sad and happy, things going well, things difficult, pray. That's the first thing that James says. But there's a second thing. He talks in verses 14 and 15 about the praying community. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, James doesn't just talk about an individual and their relationship with God, but he's saying that as a Christian, our lives are meant to be lived in community, in relationship with other people. And as a community, we need to depend on each other and together depend upon God and His Spirit. You see, we need each other in our lives in order to live life and to live it well, especially in times of difficulty. We need each other. And so we should be praying with each other. We should be praying in small groups, with individuals. And here we're told that there are times when we need to call the elders to pray. The elders, as it were, are the representatives of the community. Now, it's a bit complicated, and there's lots of different opinions on this passage, and I'm not going to go through them all and bend your mind. I'll tell you what I think. James is saying, if you're sick, when you're sick, get people to pray for you. And get the elders to pray for you because they represent the community. And get them to pray for you because as they pray, when they pray, there's an expectation that God will hear the prayers, answer the prayers, and bring restoration and healing. That doesn't mean to say that the Lord heals every time we pray. But it does mean that the Lord hears our prayers and answers them. Does it mean that we should pray for healing more often than we do? Yes, I think it does. And can the Lord heal in all situations? Yes. And I think here there seems to be a connection between sin and sickness. And you see that in the word save as well. The word save is the same word that is the word for salvation. And it seems to be that some sickness in James's mind, some sickness is connected to sin. And so there's a need for maybe this individual that he's thinking of, but there's certainly a need at times for people to be healed, not only physically, but spiritually as well. And as you pray and ask God for forgiveness, and as you pray, as the elders pray, and ask God for physical healing, so God hears prayers, answers them, and brings restoration. You know, we should have more confidence than we do, I think, that God is able to do this. That's why he keeps saying, pray and God will raise them up. Pray and God will forgive. Because that's the sort of God he is. He loves to restore. He loves to bring healing and wholeness. You see, there's two dangers that we have when it comes to sickness. And they're always opposite, aren't they? And the first danger is, when you're sick, what do? Well, you take some tablets, you spend some time in bed, you go and see the doctor, you go to the MRI, and you try and sort yourself out. The other danger when you're sick is, and that's good, that's a good thing to do. The other thing that we can do when we're sick is we can say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to heal. I'm going to ask other people to pray for me, to heal me. And the danger with both of those is that we can, in the first instance, ignore God's part in it. And in the second, ignore that God sometimes doesn't heal miraculously, but heals through doctors and nurses and tablets and injections. And so if you're sick, what should we do? You should pray. That's the first thing. And then maybe go and see a doctor. We should do both things. And we should be as thankful to God for healing through both means. If God heals through a doctor, praise the Lord. If he heals without the doctor, praise the Lord. May the Lord be praised, no matter what. That's the second thing we see here, the praying community. Third, the praying friends. Verse 16 begins like this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. What's going on here? Well, one another gives it away. What's going on? There's a situation, possibly in the church. There's a falling out between two people. Maybe they've said something to each other that they shouldn't have said, but there's disunity. And so what does Paul say? Well, Paul says, James says, that shouldn't be the case. You see, churches should be places of unity. They should be places where people get on with each other. And so if there is disunity, if there's a falling out, then you need to sort it out. And so how do you sort it out? Well, you sort it out by coming together, confessing your sins to each other. That means saying sorry. And then praying together. And as you pray, God will forgive. God will bring healing and restore the relationship. You see, in church life, we talk about confession. There's three types of confession that we do in church. The first is secret confession. That is you and God doing business. You confessing your specific sins to him. But then there's private confession, where you know you've done something against someone else, and you need to go to them, acknowledge your fault, and apologize. And then there's public confession as well, where maybe you, or maybe you and another person, need to publicly confess your sins so that there's restoration publicly. I remember one time I was giving out communion, and as I was giving it out, I noticed somebody along the line who I was, who I'd been in, shall we say, discussion with about the Bible and about aspects of the Bible, and I'd been a bit harsh with them in the way I'd spoken to them. And so as I went along the line, I saw that, and I thought, what am I going to do about it? Because there's a bit of an issue between the two of us here. And so before I gave him communion, I had to say, look, I'm really, really sorry here. I've spoken as I shouldn't have spoken. I spoke harshly and unkindly. Would you forgive me? And it was amazing that the release and the healing and the restoration of relationship was great. Let me ask, do you have anything against anybody here at church? Are there any Christians who you have spoken badly about? Are there any Christians that you're not in right relationship with? Well, if they're right, pray and then go to them, confess your sins to them, and then pray together. You know, it's amazing what God can do when the two people who are against each other and at each other ask for forgiveness, kneel down, and pray together. The power that there is there in healing and restoration is immense. Finally, the praying prophet. James concludes this section by saying this: the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. Why does James bring in this Old Testament guy, Elijah, here at the end of this section? Well, I think he does it for this reason. One problem that we have with prayer, and it's a huge problem, is that we do not feel able and worthy to pray. You see, We all know that we mess up. We all know we don't live as we should. And so when it comes to prayer, we think, why should I be able to pray? How can I, someone who messes up, someone who doesn't live as they should, how can I have the right to come into God's presence and pray and bring my request to him and offer up my desires to him? How is that possible? And on the surface, this verse doesn't really help us because it says the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And so we can read that and think, well, that's me not able to pray, isn't it? Because God's only going to answer the prayers of a righteous person. But then he brings in Elijah. And the first thing he tells us about Elijah is that he was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was a sinner. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. And God did amazing things through him and in him. And yet he was a man of like passions. He was a sinful person. And yet he was righteous. You say, well, how's that possible? How is it possible to be sinful and righteous at the same time? And it's possible, we know it's how it's possible. It's possible through Jesus Christ. You see, no one is righteous in God's sight by being good. No one is righteous in God's sight in and of themselves. But we can be right in God's sight through Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3 that Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. You see, Jesus Christ lived a righteous life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He never messed up, never made mistakes. He was righteous, and yet he died on that cross, taking upon himself all our unrighteousness, all our sin, all our mess, all our mistakes. Why did he do that? So that we can be forgiven, so that we can be restored, so that we can be brought back into relationship with God again. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us back to God. And therefore we now stand as righteous in God's sight. Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we mess up, but we're also righteous. God looks at us as he would look at Jesus, as right in his sight, accepted and loved. And the result of that is we're in relationship with him, and therefore we can pray. And what was the result of Elijah's prayer, this righteous man? Well, the result was that the weather system changed. It rained, it didn't rain. What a powerful result. And that's the potential that we have available to us. You see, if you are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, this is the power that's available to you, the power of prayer. You can come to God anytime, any place, anywhere, and pray. And God is a God who loves to hear our prayers, and he will answer our prayers in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, make us people who pray. Help us to realize that we are in relationship with you 24/7, and so we can pray 24/7. And make us people, prompt us to be people who pray regularly, who cultivate a relationship with you. And may we do that not just as individuals, but as a church. May we be a church that prays. And may we be a people who point others to you by showing them what a great God you are and what a great relationship they can have with such a wonderful God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.